Devaya, Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, the second chapter, contents of the Gita summarized, if I'm correct, text 58. Please repeat after me. Yada samharate chayam kurmo anganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyayartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtata yada samharate chayam kurmo anganiva sarvasha indriyan indriyartebhyas tasya pragya pratishtita. Yada, when samharate winds up, cha, also, ayam, he, kurma, tortoise, angani, limbs, iva, like, sarvasha, altogether, indriyani, senses, indriya artebhya, from the sense objects, tasya, his, pragya, consciousness, pratishtita, fixed. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as the tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Please repeat after me. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as a tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Purport. The test of a yogi, devotee, or self-realized soul is that he is able to control the senses according to his plan. Most people, however, are servants of the senses and are thus directed by the dictation of the senses. That is the answer to the question as to how the yogi is situated. The senses are compared to venomous serpents. They want to act very loosely and without restriction. The yogi or the devotee must be very strong to control the serpents, like a snake charmer. He never allows them to act independently. There are many injunctions in the revealed scriptures. Some of them are do-nots and some of them are do's. Unless one is able to follow the do's and the do-nots, restricting oneself from sense enjoyment, it is not possible to be firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. The best example set herein is a tortoise. The tortoise can at any moment wind up its senses and exhibit them again at any time for particular purposes. Similarly, the senses of the Krishna conscious person are used only for some particular purpose in the service of the Lord and are withdrawn otherwise. Arjuna is being taught here to use his senses for the service of the Lord, instead of for his own satisfaction. Keeping the senses always in the service of the Lord is the example set by the analogy of the tortoise, who keeps the senses within. Yadasam harate chayam kurmo anganiya sarvasha indriya nindriyartebhyas tasya pragya pradishtita. One who is able to withdraw his senses from sense objects, as a tortoise draws its limbs within the shell, is firmly fixed in perfect consciousness. Yes. So, this is actually a very beautiful and very important verse spoken by Sri Krishna to Arjuna. When we hear about maybe the purport of this verse from maybe from a different perspective, from how yogis on the Ashtanga yoga path interpret it, they would say that, okay, the yogi will have to be situated in the glory of his own soul in such a way that his sensory activities completely stop. Means that there are the sense objects, then there are the senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, 5 working senses, and all of that information is just entering the mind in such a way that really the connection between the sense objects and the senses are broken, and that the activities of the senses are going inward. Those yogis would say that the senses are actually limiting the experience of the soul. So that's why the activities of the senses is going inward. And result of this would be that yogi would even stop breathing. They stop breathing and their meditation is completely inward. But we're not on that path. But it kind of makes the point. That's why I'm introducing it from a different angle. Makes the point that, as Prabhupada says in the first line, the test of a yogi, comma, devotee, comma, our self-realized soul. So Prabhupada is defining here a devotee, pure devotee. Sometimes we have to place the adjective before the noun to make it clear, but actually it is unnecessary. From Tattva Vichara, absolute consideration, when Guru Sadhu Shastra speaks about Bhakta, they speak about Shuddha Bhakti. When they speak about Bhakti, they speak about Shuddha Bhakti. But to emphasize, to make the point, because we're also, you know, devotees not on that platform, we're still on the level of practice, sometimes we make that distinction. So, a pure devotee is actually situated in the same level of consciousness and purity as the yogi I was just describing, you know, whose activities of the senses are completely going inward. He has no connection with the manifestation of this material world anymore. Because the moment, you know, the yogi gets out of that meditation and his senses perceive some sense objects in this world, in other words, that again, his senses are limiting the experience of his soul, he starts breathing again. And in the yoga path, it is said that the sign of a disturbed mind is that he's breathing. But this is not our path. But still, as Prabhupada explains it, a bhakti yogi, you know, he cannot be less than a yogi being situated like that. So it's really something very particular, you know, Krishna is describing here. It's a very elevated platform. Even the platform of the devotee is even more elevated, because he's able to exist within this so-called material energy, you know, and seemingly, you know, act with his body, perceive with his mind and senses, and do so many things, but actually he's completely transcendentally situated. That's actually a great mystery. Also Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, he explains that. He's saying that, like a non-devotee and a devotee, pure devotee, they may be engaged in activities and they seem similar, but there is actually, you must understand, Krishna says, you must understand that there is a difference of day and night, and that is this difference. So what actually happens is that a devotee surrendered to Krishna is transcendentally situated. You know, material, he's not living in this material energy anymore, he's living in the spiritual energy, in the Swarup Shakti. All the activities of his mind and in his intelligence and his senses are under the control of the internal energy. And that is how his mind and body are completely spiritualized. It's a very specific thing happening to that devotee. That's why also when he's seemingly acting in this world, he's not disturbed. You know, material energy is always there to disturb the mind in interconnection with the senses. You know, mind is always being disturbed. Prabhupada also explains that. Mind can never be at rest in this material energy. Because we are spirit soul, spirit of nature. The only thing which can satisfy the soul is loving service of Krishna. So, when the attention, the identification of the soul is within the realm of material energy, with the mind and senses, the mind will always be disturbed. This original desire of the soul, you know, to love and serve Krishna, will be directed to the material energy. This desire can never be fulfilled, never be perfectly fulfilled. There will always be a dissatisfaction, an emptiness in the heart. These activities will always result into complication in material energy. Desire results in thinking, feeling, willing, activities. These activities yield results. They again further empower this material desire. And in this way we're complicated and implicated in material energy. And material energy has three modes, sattva, rajas, tamagun. And Krishna says these modes are constantly endeavoring, fighting for supremacy. So if the mind is influenced by material energy, the mind is influenced by these three different qualities of sattva, rajas, tamagun, and they're always competing for supremacy. That's why the mind is never at ease, never peaceful. And we're in this age also, satya, treta, dvapara, kali yuga, there's always a degrading principle happening. Maya, that is the nature of Maya. Eh? The nature of water is that it is wet. Water is wet. And the nature of Maya is that it does two things. It covers our intelligence and it degrades us. It drags us down from sattva to raja to tamaguna. Yeah. So it's a very unfortunate position of the soul, identifying with his body and mind and being completely victimized there. So our senses are disturbed in that position. And Krishna is saying here, your senses, they have to be controlled. If your senses are not controlled, if your mind is not controlled, there is not even a question of starting spiritual life. Yeah? If the senses are disturbed, definitely the mind is disturbed. If the senses are attracted, the eyes, the ears, the nose, the tongue is attracted to its objects, mind must be disturbed. You know, so this is the beginning situation. And the end situation is that we're completely surrendered to Guru and Krishna, where we're completely existing under the material, under the spiritual energy of the Lord. And Prabhupada explains it, like the fangs of the serpent, the serpent-like senses is then being knocked out, and they don't have any power anymore. Even if they bite, they will be harmless. But that is not even the position of a pure devotee. Pure devotee, farly, he exceeds that platform. You know, he doesn't have to fight his senses anymore. You know, Krishna is Rishikesh. Krishna is the master of the mind and the senses. And sometimes we forget that. So now we're in a process of getting there. How do we get there? So when I read this verse, maybe a question to you. How would you start this process of having mind and senses controlled? Because it is a serious issue in devotional life. You know, sometimes it's very obvious how our senses are attracted. You know, we want to eat, we want to sleep, we want to talk nonsense, we want to watch nonsense, we're disturbed in so many ways. But all of that is coming back to our minds. So with a little bit of honesty and introspection, throughout the day we can actually see how our mind is disturbed. You know, so many desires are there. So many complications are there. You know, so many concepts, maybe we define them to be concepts of pure devotional service, you know, which may not be so pure, which may be, you know, so much rooted in Raja and Tamagun. So, being conscious of these things, and then placing this desire before Krishna, Krishna, now, this situation has to be solved. How am I going to solve this? So any proposition, Arya? How are we going to really get this done? How the mind and the senses will be controlled? Yeah, these are all very nice things. But I want essence. I want, you know, essential information. Principle. In principle, what should we understand? What should happen in order, you know, what should support our japa? With what consciousness we should do it? You know, because japa is one thing, but there should be an extra ingredient there. Yeah, see, the thing is that karma yogis and jnana yogis and ashtanga yogis, they have attempted very hard to control their own mind and senses, and they have their particular process. And all of that process really depends upon their own qualification, their own sukriti, their own, yeah, basically qualification, and then very strong effort to do that. At least for myself speaking, I don't come from such a very elevated background that I have adhikar, I have qualification or right to really in a serious way start controlling my mind and senses. We find us on the path of devotion. And devotion in principle means depending upon the mercy of Krishna. You see? So, when we really want our mind and senses to be controlled, we will really explore everything. We will explore everything we can find to really have our mind and senses controlled. And if we do it correctly, we will be completely frustrated in all our attempts. You know, and then most of the time devotees become very discouraged. It's not working, process is not working. But if we do it right, actually this should happen. Basically what should happen is that we should be frustrated by all other influences of all other processes. You know, we should realize that our own tapasya, our own sadhana, our own chanting, chanting on our own strength, all these things are not going to help us by controlling mind and senses. And this is very good, because by chance, you know, if it may happen, if we may be able to control mind and senses on some level by these processes, then we will think, okay, this is it. And then we will cheat ourselves of really, really entering higher planes of devotional service, because definitely these higher planes of devotional service where we really start, you know, after nishtha, developing sentiments and particular identity in Krishna's service, it's all based upon mercy. You know, one devotee, he told me, like, if you compare it, like in these old American pubs, you have these doors, like, you know, they flap open like that. And usually, like, we just kick those doors in, Krishna, here I am. Huh? But it doesn't work like that. We just fly right out, it bounces us back out. But the devotee will just be sitting there at the doorstep, you know, until, you know, they drag him inside. You see? That is basically qualification in this line of bhakti, especially this Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. If you study the mood of all our acharyas, this is really the mood they developed. You know, they're very elevated, so sometimes they describe it in terms of what is their identity to Krishna, but the same principle counts for us getting purified. Us being able to develop Shraddha, and us being able to control mind and senses. So if we understand this principle, if we are completely exhausted by all other attempts, there may be a moment a day when we really understand this point that, oh my God, Krishna is Rishikesh. Krishna is the Lord and Master of the mind and the senses, not me. You know, this is such a simple point, but think about it. You know, what it really means, what it implicates in terms of adjusting our consciousness to trying to have our mind and senses controlled. You know, if we really believe we are soul, and that this material energy, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, false ego, Krishna says in Gita, Mama Maya, Mama Maya. He's not saying your Maya, this is Mama Maya, this is my Maya, this is my material energy, not yours. my material energy, and I am the controller and master of this material energy. I am Rishikesh. So then we don't go to our own mind and our own intelligence to try to control mind and sense. It's a faulty process, you know? You're trying to use the very instrument as a means to control that same instrument. You know, logically, it doesn't fit, it doesn't work. There is a fallacy here. It doesn't work. So we have to go to Krishna. We have to go to Krishna to have mind and senses controlled. Analytically, technically, when we dissect it, it means that, you know, Krishna, he gives us so much shraddha, so much mercy, by which we get a higher experience, a transcendental experience, which creates distance between the soul and the material energy and the mind, basically, and the subtle body. And by this effort of surrendering to Krishna, depending upon Krishna's mercy, mind and senses will be controlled in the beginning stages. And at later stages, mind and senses might will be completely destroyed, actually. Material mind will be destroyed, completely disintegrated, purified. Yeah. So that's a very important thing to understand. Second important thing to understand is how that event happens. How it happens. You know, in the line of bhakti, because we're talking this process, we're talking bhakti marga, means that Krishna will manifest himself as a pure devotee, as a transcendentally situated devotee. And Krishna manifests himself in that way, you know, and we develop faith there. You know, Krishna will test it. Developing faith in Krishna means that you pass that test of seeing where he manifests as a devotee. Krishna says, if you really want to achieve perfection, get purified and make advancement on the path of bhakti, you need to develop simultaneous faith in Sri Guru and Krishna. Simultaneous. You cannot say, I have faith in Krishna. I don't have faith in my guru. I have faith in Krishna. You will not be purified because Krishna purifies you where he will manifest in the form of his pure devotee. You cannot say, I have faith in my Gurudev, but I don't have so much faith in Krishna. No, because it means that you're putting your faith in a material object. The whole function and being of guru is that he's a manifestation of Krishna. It's a result of having faith in Krishna. If you have faith in Krishna, in the Paramatma, that Paramatma will manifest as Sri Guru. So simultaneous faith in both Guru and Krishna. You see where Krishna is manifesting as Sri Guru. And how you will develop that faith? By practical experience. By associating with that devotee, hearing from those devotees, you get purified. You get an experience which separates the subtle body from the soul, which in itself is a higher experience, which will make it clear, you know. If I slap in your face, you don't have to ask him if I just slapped you. You know, you don't have to make a mental adjustment. Did he just slap me? I mean, if you're in La La Land, maybe, but generally, if you're with both feet on your the floor, you will feel that I just slapped you. So when Krishna manifests in that way, you will clearly understand it. Also, getting that mercy, getting that realization will be completely depend upon the mood of surrender and dependence upon Krishna. You know? So now we have developed simultaneous faith in Sri Guru and Krishna. That faith in itself is an experience where mind and senses are controlled. Huh? They're controlled. Otherwise, we are not faithful. If mind and senses are not controlled, it means that we're not surrendered to Krishna. So in that faith, simultaneous faith in Guru and Krishna, we perform devotional service. Adau Shraddha, what we just explained. Sadhu Sangha is the fence of keeping that consciousness. Sadhu Sangha, Bhajana Kriya. Guru will say, this and this and this and this I expect from you. So, you just think I'm Krishna Das. Krishna Das means I'm my Guru Das, because that's why Krishna manifests. He's giving me these instructions. This is what he wants. This is what I do. In the mood of, not that, okay, I'm going to do it and I'm going to be nicely, transcendentally situated here. No. Completely depend upon Guru Krishna's mercy. These are my instructions. General instructions, specific instructions that Guru will give you very general for everybody, but also very specific instructions. And doing that in a mood of complete dependence, now we understand, you know, how to surrender to Guru and Krishna and how to control mind and senses. You know, now we understand Krishna is Rishikesh, Lord and Master of the senses and the mind. You know, because we don't go to our own mind and intelligence to control Maya, to fight with our mind and senses. It's happening very nicely, simply as a byproduct, a result of surrendering to Guru and Krishna. It will very nicely happen like that. You know, doing this from Adau Shraddha to Nishtha, we get purified by moments of being as much as possible being in that consciousness. In Nishtha, we're completely purified. And this act, as Prabhupada explains it and Krishna explains it, is the act of the tortoise withdrawing its limbs. Although we're in this body, which is now in contact with Swarup Shakti, we're getting purified. This, you know, withdrawal is constantly happening. You know, but it's a little bit confusing. That's why sometimes yogis, they criticize us. You know, you're still acting, you're still talking, you're still breathing. So you cannot be disconnected from material energy, they claim. But they don't, because, you know, they depend upon their own strength, you know. The mercy they get entails sat and chit, but they don't get the full mercy of this Ladini Shakti. As we in Gaudiya Parampara, whatever comes down contains the seat of sat chit anand. It's a full seat. And based upon this full seat, you know, this very special thing is happening by which we're able to be connected with Krishna in Krishna consciousness, even on the level of practice before full purification, before Nishtha, before being fixed, you know. Prabhupada, Krishna says here, pratishtita, fixed. Nishtha, it's also the same thing. It's not happening. So, that's why we should really value parampara Prabhupada is giving us. What Prabhupada is, it's like Prabhupada is only, sometimes you can visualize it like that. Prabhupada and Acharyas are simply like a pipe connected with the reservoir of mercy in Goloka Vrindavan. You know, the very intimate circle of association of Krishna and his devotees there. So it's just simply a pipe, you know, connected with that reservoir of mercy. And that mercy is coming down. And that's what we're dealing with. So, you know, this process works if we understand and approach it like that. The moment that stops, yeah, we are not connected with the pipe. We need to be connected with this pipe, you know. Connection with the pipe means right mood from ourselves, you know, right understanding by mercy of Guru and Krishna. And secondly, serving Krishna at the lotus feet of a pure devotee, developing strong faith there. That is our process, you know. It's very simple, really. Although it is very subtle, it is very secret, it is very, very intimate. It is very intimate. It has to be revealed. But this is our process. This is our philosophy. This is what we accept. This is what we try to practice, what we try to aspire for. And when I read this verse, then I try to understand it myself in that way and, you know, pray for it accordingly. Mataji? Yes, it has two sense. See, it's a subtle line, huh? But when we understand it in a philosophical way, you have to actually understand it in two ways. You have to understand it in a philosophical way, and you have to understand it in a practical way. But it starts with philosophy. So, in a philosophical way, as long as you are connected with that pipe, as long as you are surrendered to Guru and Krishna, then you're nicely situated. The moment you deviate little bit from that, you know, you become influenced by material energy. And material, because we are tatashta ajiva shakti. Means, by nature, we are dependent of either die Swarup Antaranga Shakti or the Bahiranga Shakti. We have no choice. There is no position where we can independent. The Tasta Jiva Shakti, the Jiva, must be dependent. So the moment you deviate from the surrender of Guru and Krishna, immediately you become influenced by the external energy. And external energy, maybe Madhu Gopal knows the Sanskrit terms for the potency of covering intelligence and the potency of degrading intelligence. Prabhupada, I think in Bhagavatam or Chaitanya Charitamrita, yes, that's it. Yes, but they're very technical terms, you know. So basically, the Swarup Shakti also has these potencies, Samvit, Sandini, Ladini. And there are many other classifications. So material energy also has these potencies, these functions. So that's what automatically happens, you know. But it's very subtle. It's not only like, let's say, you know, you make... Deviation means what? Deviation means what? Okay, you can deviate with your body. Guru and Krishna wants you, you know, to wake up from my life, be there. You're not there. Yeah, definitely, you know, you will not be blessed. But it can also be in terms of mood, of humility. It can, you know, if mood and humility and proper understanding, you know. It is said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that one of the anarthas is tattva brahma. Tattva brahma is philosophical misconception, you know. If you're influenced by that, and you don't have a proper approach to Guru and Krishna, that's already a little deviation, you know. So that's why devotional service is like a razor's edge, they say. You know, you're on it or you're not, you know. That's it. That's why we need training from Guru and Krishna to be there. Then I'm speaking about practical realization, second part of the answer. By doing this effort very sincerely, Krishna will give you the introspection and experience you require to understand what is your surrender to Guru and Krishna. Here Krishna says, if you surrender to me, you're okay. But surrender to Krishna means to do what Krishna wants. And Krishna will train you, you know, what he expecting from you, what mood, what activities, even it goes into detail where he wants you to be, you know, and what he wants you to do. And once you nicely follow that as a whole package, then you will be nicely situated and you will be able to protect yourself from the influences of mind and senses. Yes. In our line, you know, in our Bhakti Marga. That's what it means, you know, to surrender to Krishna means to live under the mercy of Guru Krishna's energy. Yeah. Does it make sense? All right. No, that's no. All right. Any more points? That's it. All right. Thank you. Grantrach Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki Samaveta Bhaktavinda ki Gita Igor Premanande Hari Hari Bhagavad.